Relax.
My name is Vladimir Kapelovac. I'm a software engineer by profession. I really enjoy building products. I'm very passionate about user experience and customer service, so much that it's a burden when I use other products and services. I'm always used to high standards. I'm founder of ManageWP, and the Dreadcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Dread.
For the Dreadcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dreadcast starts now.
All right. Welcome to Dreadcast episode number 43. Dre, what's up, buddy? Oh, man. This is weird. It's daylight. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what day it is.
I haven't been drinking during episodes recently, but now it makes it even more challenging lunchtime.
Challenging. We like challenges. It sounds like something we can overcome. But so let's quickly explain what we're doing here. So this is obviously we are recording. If you're watching this later on at 3 p.m. Eastern on a Wednesday versus our normal 8 p.m. Eastern time slot, and we're actually calling this segment Drad World. And what we're wanting to do is we're going to start opening up. Obviously, WordPress is way bigger than just the U.S. and we're a U.S. based podcast. But one of the challenges we've had with recording in the evening is it's very hard for us to get international guests on because it's 2, 3, 4 a.m. local time for them, understandably. So what we're going to start doing is the first Wednesday of every month, we will call Drad World. We'll be recording early at this time. It'll be 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and that'll allow us to bring on a lot more international guests. And there's a lot of really amazing WordPress people out there that we want to have on. So this is the first Drad World episode. We're very excited. And on this episode, we have an amazing host, and that would be Vladimir Provovac. Vladimir, welcome to the show.
Hello. Very good to be here.
How's it going? Now, I hope I didn't butcher your last name too much. Did I say that right, Provovac?
You're among top 80% of people pronouncing my name, so you're good.
So is that 80% of the people that are wrong, or am I 80% that are right?
That are good, that are bearable.
Okay, great. We'll stick with Vladimir. Very, very excited to have you on the show. You have a long, rich history with WordPress, so we have a lot to talk about. So let's dive in and see what we're sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
I'm sure Dre's probably over there already hitting the bottle since it is lunch,
yeah,
right?
So yeah, it's acceptable. It is noon somewhere in the world, so I got to be hitting it. No, I'm actually rocking some Starbucks today. Nice old blend there, and I'm like my third one. This is awesome.
So you have the Starbucks jitters, as they say. Very cool, Vladimir. It's evening over there. What are you drinking on your side?
I'm also going nice and easy. Just some orange juice.
Orange juice in the coffee mug. Gotta love that. So
yeah.
I'll keep going with the really excited theme we have here around our drinks, and I have a nice glass of water, no ice. So
nice.
Cheers,
and
guys. Drink up.
Yeah. We're hitting it heavy today. That's what's up.
Oh, man, this will definitely be an adjustment. I'm going to have to get some kind of, I think, you know, one thing I always think about overseas is, like, the amazing coffee that they have and the amazing, it's much darker over there, and I really like it. So maybe I'll have to get some better coffee blends to drink on the Drad World shows.
Yes, we need to do that.
Cool, so let's... Absolutely. Let's dive right in. So we want to learn all about you, Vladimir. Like I said, you have a long, rich history around WordPress. It goes back pretty far, so generally where we like to start these is let's go way back and start, because you are a developer by trait, is at least from what I know of you, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you are a developer, so I'd love to hear about how you kind of got into web development and what really kind of led you down that path.
Yeah, so in a way I was destined to be a developer when my dad purchased me a computer when I was just 8 years old. That was 1985. And by the end of that first year of me having a computer, I was already programming in BASIC. So just got started really, really early, got involved with that magical space of computers and everything while other kids played soccer. I was, you know, relentlessly typing on my keyboard. I got in web development pretty late, actually, in 2003, I think. Wrote my first scripts in Perl and PHP. I mainly programmed in C and assembler before that. And then the real involvement with WordPress and web development in general happened in 2007, when I decided to quit my job as a project manager for a large company and wanted to start my own business. Not knowing much about what am I going to do, and I only had 6 months of cash with me for that. So that's how I actually got involved with WordPress. I decided that the internet is a really good place to be, and I considered it as a Wild West at that time, and I think it still is in a way a Wild West where golden mines are, you know, scattered around the country and people are rushing to find them, and some of them are more successful than others. And it especially made sense when you don't live in US like I do. I live in Europe and in a pretty small country in Europe, for that matter. So being able to access the whole of internet from your chair, basically sitting at the desk with your computer, was just mind-blowing for me at the time, and I knew there was something in there. And I got involved with WordPress. I decided to start my own blog, and since I was a developer, it took me very little time to start coding my own plugins. And that's basically how I got started with WordPress.
You know, it's funny. We've had, I guess the past few shows, we've had a pretty developer-heavy set of hosts, and it's a lot of, I feel like the road that everyone kind of got into WordPress and how they became, you know, an active developer or whatever, built a company on WordPress, it kind of all started with, oh, I wanted to start a blog. And then as devs, like, you said, we can't just sit like I want it and I'm never going to touch it. We start getting in there and tinkering and poking around behind the scenes in the code, and the next thing you know, one thing leads to another and we're building, you know,
breaking
full applications and businesses around it, right?
Yeah,
what's that, Dre?
I said breaking stuff is what I call it.
Exactly, like breaking stuff. So it's interesting. I feel like almost every dev we've probably talked to on this show, it started that way. That's how it started for me. Like, I started a blog and then I'm like, well, I wish this worked a little bit differently. I know code. I can get in there and figure it out. You know, it's like one thing led another. So it sounds like that's true with you. It kind of snowballed. So at what point did you go from just tinkering with your blog to realizing, like, there might be a way you can make some money around WordPress or do it for a living?
Yeah, well, now when I look at it from this perspective, I almost always consider myself incredibly lucky, but on the other hand, I know that's not fair to all the people that that, you know, are maybe watching this and saying this guy was lucky. I am not. It was a lot of hard work. When I roll it over in my head, I was really coding, you know, for 10, 12 hours a day, exploring, learning. There's so much material on the web. Back then in 2007, and especially now, you can learn so much. So yeah, I really, really worked hard and started by building plugins that I needed for my blog. And at that time, you know, the number of plugins in WordPress repository was not as high as now, and a lot of stuff was missing. So I built a couple of plugins that it turned out also a lot of other people wanted, and these plugins basically built a name for me in the community over the time. So with the recognition in community, with the recognition in WordPress circles, a lot of opportunities came knocking on my door. And that's how I made first money, basically doing WordPress consulting for other companies, whether it was plugin development, website development, SEO. I was very involved in SEO for 3 or 4 years. So a lot of work, and with time, bigger and bigger clients came. So I was able to to build up a sustainable business pretty fast.
Yeah. So that when you started that, so it sounds like it was a consulting business, or you were essentially a contractor. People would hire you out. Did you actually start building that up and hire additional contractors underneath you, or hire employees, or you were basically like a one man show to begin with for a while?
Yeah, I was a one man show for 3 years. Okay. Until 2010.
So I was feeling that, prove it, right?
Yeah, I was feeling that I was capable of doing everything. And also, you can always cap the amount of work you have to do by raising your price. So you end up working the same, but you earn more. And when I was noticing that there was a lot of, more money left outside the door, I decided to actually start a company. Before that, I was just a private individual doing consulting. But then I started a company and actually hired 4 or 5 people back then to expand the business.
Yeah, and so on the timeline there, so you mentioned that you were, I think you said you were basically freelancing until 2012, was that?
2010,
sorry. So in one of the first areas where I actually became familiar with you, it was the book you wrote, which was, if anyone's not familiar, was the original plugin development book that was ever written. I think you were the first. It's called WordPress Plugin Development, a Beginner's Guide from Pact, which came out in 2011. And this is 2009. So this was was very early on for a plugin development book, and even books around WordPress. There were some WordPress for Dummies books, but on the development side of things, there wasn't much. So let's talk about that book a little bit. Like, how did that? So that obviously came out in 2009. Means you're working on it in 2008. How did that come to be? Is it someone just approached you because of some of the work they had seen?
Yeah, I think the plugin work that I did. Obviously, came to attention to some people at Pact, and the publisher approached me and asked me whether I wanted to write a book. And obviously, when such an opportunity knocks at your door, you don't say no to that. Although I did not know anything about writing a book, and especially English is not my native language, so it was quite a challenge. I spent most of 2008, almost a full year and full time. Writing that book, it was really, really hard. I had to write 7, I think, major plugins for that book, and then explain them in the book. Basically, learning, teaching WordPress to the readers. So that must have been the hardest thing I ever done in my life when I think of it. The benefits of writing a book have been huge. First, my name's, I suddenly became someone in the WordPress community. I suddenly got much bigger clients knocking on my doors. The exposure I got from that book still works for me even today. So although it was a very, very difficult a hard thing to do, it really paid off. For some time, I could even live just from the book sales. It was selling very good at the time. It was the first book, as you mentioned, Brad. I know others wrote books after me, and since the WordPress was developing at such a fast pace, the book, I think, became obsolete at some point. The hooks weren't there anymore. it had a profound impact on my career in WordPress.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the challenges of writing for open source, that what you write about is quickly obsolete, or maybe not obsolete, but maybe just deprecated, or there's a better way to do it. So yeah. It's definitely a challenge. I certainly know where you're coming from. But it was a great book.
Thank you.
And it's actually one that I look to for working up the professional WordPress plugin book. One that, you know, we pointed to as an example of a book that had done really well in that space, and it was time for, you know, something fresher, because like you said, it's things over time get stale. But yeah, it's overall it's a great book. So I got to ask you, is that any plans to update it? Any plans to write again? I know you said that was probably one of the most challenging things you've done. You think in the future you'll look to either update that book or write something else?
Definitely. As hard as it was pretty enjoyable. And not just the process of writing it, but after you're done, the knowledge and the feeling of leaving something behind you that's tangible. When you live in a software world and you're producing code, most of the stuff is not tangible. Book is. For that reason alone, I think it's worthwhile for anyone who has an opportunity to write a book, and I will definitely do that again. Perhaps this time I would experiment with self-publishing it. I don't think that going with a publisher is the best thing to do nowadays, when you can easily match, if not be better at online marketing the book.
Sure.
So yeah, so that's definitely I would try. If I'm to write another book.
Yeah, there's definitely some advantages to doing more of the ebook approach as well, where you know you release updates around versions of WordPress. I've seen some books do that, which works really well because, like you said, it's things can be out of date, and you know you never know what's going to happen between the time you sign off on a book and the time it goes to print. If there's a major change, it's too late. You can't change it. So there's definitely something, but it's always fun to hear from other authors their experiences, and I always like asking if they'll do it again, because more than half of them say never. That's it. I'm done. Did it once. I'm over it. So it's cool to hear that there are some possibilities that you might be interested in writing again. Cool. So let's kind of keep moving forward. We talked about how you kind of started as a freelancer. You ran that for a number of years. Until 2010. So what happened in 2010 when you either stopped freelancing or kind of moved on from that?
Whole deal of troubles came my way. because I didn't know anything about running a business. So I don't know how it was for you guys, but for me it was a totally terrifying experience. Going from something I was very comfortable at, that's computer programming, to actually running a business and managing people and talking, you know, the bureaucracy, all that kind of stuff fell onto me. So it was pretty terrifying for the first 2 years, I would say. And I think the business really suffered as because of that. And we, instead of growing, we actually, barely broke even. I wasn't doing what I was best at. I was doing something I sucked at big time. So I had a lot of things to learn, and that was the period that it was very intensive. You know, I was having second thoughts and everything. What I concluded at that point is that a web development business is not scalable in a way that I would like to do business. I was just not born for that. So I started looking at doing a product or a service that is scalable on an entire different level. That's basically how the idea for ManageWP came to be in 2011, and the rest is pretty much history.
Well, creating a product leads you, you know, down into some creative thought processes and ideas that maybe may initially make sense, but scalability is something really challenging when you're talking about managing, especially managing large amounts of websites or even large-scale websites. What led you down that path in terms of figuring out, all right, we've there's a maybe a niche here around managing these websites or helping people manage these websites. How do I create a product around that? Like, what led you to management of WordPress?
Well, since we were doing web development work, we had a lot of clients, or a couple of dozen of clients, and a lot of websites to manage for them. And at that time, there was no solution to effectively do that. It took a lot of work, which I just thought it shouldn't be that way. And we at first fooled around this idea, and the first prototype of ManageWP was built, you know, in 2 months. It was very, very basic, could do a couple of things like update plugins in WordPress and, you know, manage comments. But it turned out that, you know, most of people really, really wanted this. And even the prototype was very rudimentary and, you know, nothing like it looks today. We opened it to public, and I was really, really surprised by the amount of people that are signing up every day, and they were obviously sharing the word because there was no promotion for the product. So obviously the people needed this. And before I knew it, you know, in a couple of months we had over 10,000 people actively using the product. And that's actually when I started thinking about, hey, this could be a business. If 10,000 people are actively using it, then certainly a certain amount of them would pay for continue to use it. And then that's when the company actually decided to focus on just building ManageWP. We stopped all the web development work, all the client work, and the entire company focused on just building this one product that showed potential, that obviously had something going there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think, like you said, that kind of validates. If you throw something out there and it's almost like a beta, you just kind of get feelers to see how the reaction of users in the community, and you get that many signups, you've obviously hit something. There's a need, you know, for what you produced. And I think everyone can agree with that. So ManageWP is maybe you can kind of give us the elevator pitch. ManageWP, in case anyone listening doesn't know what ManageWP is.
Well, ManageWP is a WordPress management service. That's at least what it started at. Today we are seeing it shift more into making the whole experience of using WordPress exquisite. We are going deeper under the hood of WordPress and trying to do more things for people in an easier way. So even if you have just one site, you can still use ManageWP to fulfill some of the needs you have in everyday WordPress use. So while definitely it shines when you have multiple sites, and some of our clients have thousands of them, we are now seeing this change of ManageWP into a service that really makes the whole WordPress experience different in our way, which we think is a good way. So we will see where that leads us.
Yeah, I think, I'm just going through kind of the overview on the site, ManageWP.com, and just looking at the various features, and this has grown quite a bit from, I think, even the last time I've used it, just the amount of features that are available. So it's way more than just kind of remote updates, from a single management point. You have monitoring, optimization, backups, deployments, security.net integration, which is awesome. So it's pretty amazing to see what you've built here just in a short amount of time over the course of a few years. So my initial reaction when I hear about these type of services is, how secure is this? Because it's kind of like almost using like a pattern of my management tool. They have everything, right? So same thing here. If someone's able to get into your tool, they would have every access to all my stuff. So maybe you could speak to the security side of it, because I'm sure it's something that most of your clients or pre-sales questions are probably, I would guess a lot of them are centered around security and what you do to make sure that data is protected.
Well, let me just say that it's much more secure than your own website. Basically, our entire business is based on the security of our service. If there was something to happen that would, endanger the security of our service, we would most likely lose the business or the biggest part of it. So we invest a lot in security. We have multiple layers of security, both on the service side and on the client side, where clients have two-factor authentication. They have IP, blockade by IP. We use the SSL enforced protocol to communicate with the websites. We don't use the XML RPC protocol built in WordPress. We build our own. And in the 3 years, 3 years now that the service is running and we manage over 200,000 websites now, we did not have a single security incident. So I think that speaks for how serious we are about security. We also have the White Hat security program where we reward people for finding security exploits, whether on the site, service. It's been active for over a year and a half. So we are very, very security aware, and that's our number one priority.
I can tell Dre's getting the warm fuzzies over there, and we're talking security.
Well, I mean, there's two big pieces there, right? So even the security.net integration is really towards being able to get visibility into the website that you're managing on their service, see if they're blacklisted, have malware and such. But he's speaking more about his environment, the connection between the service and those websites and the controls that they've put in place to minimize risk there. And, I'd like to see more services follow suit because I think that, you know, is anything 100% secure? Absolutely not. That's just not realistic, but they've put controls in place to minimize the risk of, or opportunity for some type of issue, and I commend them on that.
Thank you. I'm really surprised when I hear, and I'm sure you, Dre, follow this, every month a major service has a security breach, and these are, you know, huge services like, you know, Quora or what happened last, I kind of LinkedIn. So it really puzzles me that, you know, these things happen in that scale.
I don't get as concerned when it happens on something really obscure, like they get attacked in some really weird way because attackers are, you know, they've got endless resources and they're very creative. My challenge is when it's something silly, like I've left unencrypted passwords by the millions on a server somewhere, like that's, that's terrible, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, all in all, Managed WP is a very cool service. It's come a really long way, so if you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. We do have a question in the chat room from Lane, and she wants to know, if someone's starting a business around WordPress, what advice would you give them? And I think it's a great question because you've had some experiences, some good, some bad, just like most of us have. So what advice would you give someone if they're looking to get into WordPress to start a business, whether it's consulting, whether it's a service, whether it's a product, whatever it may be?
I think it's a great question because I think this is a great time for anyone who is involved with WordPress but does not have a revenue stream coming for WordPress already to get involved and start doing it. WordPress has become such a wonderful opportunity. It's been such over the years, but especially today when we see the news, like we are going to discuss later, the automatic getting more funding. WordPress is clearly on the rise, and it's not going anywhere soon. So investing in a WordPress-based business is, I think, the right thing to do nowadays. As for advice, it really depends what kind of business they want to start. You know, there are so many types of WordPress businesses. You can start a plugin business. You can start a theme business. You can start a consulting business.
Well, some people may be nervous about starting in specific niches or around a specific product, let's say, or doing theme development or doing plugin development, what have you, because maybe they seem like it's a saturated area. It's an area where it's just well-established and there's big players and stuff. What would you encourage them? I mean, from my perspective, the competition validates a specific space or area you might want to get involved in. And in fact, that may nurture stronger business, and competition is a good thing. But some folks may be discouraged by that. What would be your take?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Having a lot of competition means only one thing, and that's a healthy market. And even besides that, it means an educated market. Mm-hmm. For example, Managed WPA has this problem still that people don't know that there is a WordPress management service. Although we've been in business for 3 years, the market is not educated. And our CR competitors as helping us do the education of the market, so at least people know that there is such a thing as a WordPress management service. Whether they will use us or a competitor is, of course, entirely up to us or the competitor, which is a good thing for the consumer. So entering a saturated market is, I think there's no such thing as a saturated market for that matter. Entering a highly competitive market is a good thing, but you really have to start small, choose a niche, something you're very good at, something you're very passionate about, and something you think you have a competitive advantage over a next product. So,
and you hit it on the head earlier when you talked about the development services and such that you were offering before, but when you found that you wanted to head down the product line, you found something that you wanted to bet on, which was Managed WP, and it made sense. There was a need there. You focused. You got rid of all the extra baggage. You focus on one specific thing, and it's exciting to hear because that's similar to the journey that we took. We had a development design shop around WordPress. We had the service that we were launching around security, and it made sense, right? And we focused and headed that route and, put our head down and really strove to kind of make that the premier service in that area. So I would encourage folks to focus in and be awesome at one or two things, better than mediocre at a lot. Now, you talked about educating. You talked about making people aware and educating a specific space. You've done something that in that route, maybe at a bigger kind of, or in a bigger way than just marketing your product, by starting a community driven around WordPress news, and that's managedwp.org. Now, I think we originally talked about it when it was coming out. You had a landing page, kind of, hey, subscribe now, get ready for this, it's coming. It's a pretty interesting news resource. How is that going now? It's been out for a while, and you put some really good content out there. How does that translate, to the community? How do you see that grow?
Yes, so managedwp.org is a WordPress community-driven news portal, and it basically grew out of an idea to have all the best WordPress content in one place. Before that, I had to go through my RSS feed, I had to go through my Twitter feeds, and that was not time effective. I really like time effective services. So it started just as fulfilling one man's need. But obviously the community needed that as well. So it quickly grew over the last 5 or 6 months since it was launched, and I think we now captured the essence of the community on that website. It's now self-sustainable. I don't have to push it anymore. I don't have to submit content to keep it alive. The community has grown so that it always has fresh content, and some very good pieces are on the homepage. But more importantly, I think, than just fulfilling my own need for WordPress news, I think it started something good as far as Managed WP is concerned, and it started giving back to community again. I think that's very important. Over the years, I started with WordPress 2007. I think I did some good things for the community. I created almost 30 plugins, wrote a book, but you cannot live on old glory all the time. So we do have a commercial service now, managedwp.com, and I think we continually owe something to the community and to the project, which is giving us the paychecks. So ManageWP also started something for this company, and that is giving back to the community. It's a non-commercial project. We plan to open source it very soon, as soon as we clean up the source. It's a mess, but it won't be. It's really just a start, I think, as far as you know, as far as ManageWP is concerned. We want to contribute much more to the project that is helping us have a professional career at all. So
as should we all. I know that that's something that Brad and I, when we set out to do this thing, the Dradcasting, because we liked the idea of talking to smarter people than us that are in the WordPress community, to really, you know, get them in front of folks that are part of the smaller, you know, sub-community, if you will, that is our listeners. We wanted to do it in a way that didn't have any relationship to revenue streams or anything like that. It's really just for fun and for the love of the community. It's almost, we've always related it to being in the hallways at a WordCamp and talking to really awesome people, and that's an exciting thing to be able to share with other folks. So I commend you on that, and I encourage others to do the same. With that, I think that we should go ahead and move on to this week's Pressing Topics.
Word. Pressing
Topics of the Week.
Man, growth is something that we've been seeing across the WordPress space. We've seen some mergers, some acquisitions, some sites just completely disappear. One that hasn't, and a service, an organization, a company that was built by Matt Mullenweg, and his team is Automattic, and it is continually growing. In fact, so much that they've raised $160 million in new funding. He put a post out this week. That's a whole lot of tacos, I would tell you. You need to hit that about 159 point whatever
billion times.
Yeah, what's going on here? I mean, like, where does this put Automattic? I mean, are we looking at some IPO? Or are we looking at some acquisition? In the short order, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, this is. Go ahead, Vladimir.
Yeah, I think this is just fantastic news for the community. Although we need to understand that the investment is to Automattic and WordPress.com, not the WordPress.org, but it's hard to believe that this money won't be used to help the open source project. And I'm really, really very excited about this. I think that this move shows that WordPress has a very, very bright future, and obviously it's led by people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. You're absolutely right. I think it really validates what WordPress is, what it's doing, who's behind it. I think one of the things that stood out, so they took $160 million in funding, which values them right around $1.16 billion for Automattic. Their previous the last time they took funding, which I actually thought wasn't this long ago, but it was 2008.
They've done some equity changes over the last year.
Okay, I guess the last outside funding they took was in 2008 for $12 million. And Matt states that it's obviously this new round of funding is a lot of money, especially considering everything that they've done so far has been built on about $12 million of outside capital over the past 8 years, which is crazy if you think about it. And how much from 2008 until now, how much Automattic has grown, it's ridiculous. I'm pretty sure they're over 200 employees now all over the world. Obviously, they're dumping tons of time and money into the WordPress core project itself, just to keep it growing and sustaining and moving forward. So this is good news for anyone that's involved with WordPress, especially good news for Automattic and everyone directly involved with that. But it's exciting. I'm really excited to see what happens now. You know, what happens in the future, in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, because this is a... So next up, I expect to be reading, you know, something about security taken in. Yeah, maybe not 160, but I could see, you know, 100 million or so pull that in. A billion, maybe slightly under. I'm not, you know, you're not greedy. I know that.
Oh, man. I just want a boat, and I want to go fishing.
It's wild. That's just, I mean, you know, I got to be honest, though. I really feel like the valuation, it might even be low. And maybe I feel like the valuations that we look at now are getting a little bit skewed because people are throwing like crazy amounts of money at products that probably aren't worth nearly that much, and namely Facebook just seems to be slapping money anywhere it can for things that aren't valued. So we hear $2 billion or $1.1 billion, we're like, oh, well, that's not that much. Like, you know, Snapchat turned down $4 billion or whatever. Like, so it's these numbers, like, it's, I don't think they really add up to people how big a business. It's a ridiculous amount of money.
And I'm still trying to look. I know that there was other funding here at some point in recent history. Ultimately, I think this bodes well for the entire community. I think it bodes well for other organizations that are growing right now and companies and services around WordPress. It's just typical in any space as it's growing. They're obviously leading the front. They've got their finger on the pulse around a lot of the long-term services that have been supporting WordPress or integrated into WordPress. And you know, they're at San Francisco, so they're in the middle of the whole shebang, if you will. Crazy crew.
I expect the WordPress or WordCamp San Francisco after party to be insane this year.
$1 billion valuation doesn't suck, that's for sure.
Not at all.
So who's next? On. Who do you guys think? Who do you guys think kind of heads this route? I mean, you've seen WP Engine take on some funding and see some aggressive growth there. Are there any other up-and-comers that maybe joining the WordPress elite, if you will?
From my perspective, you know, so we've seen Automattic obviously take funding. We've seen some hosting companies like WP Engine take funding. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some, you know, dev shops, design shops taking some funding. As the shops are, some of these shops, like Web Dev Studios and TenOp and CrowdFavorite, you know, they're all getting much larger. Some are, you know, acquiring other ones or merging with other companies, so they're all getting much bigger. At some point, you know, I think there could be some potential funding opportunities if it hasn't already happened with some of these businesses, because I just feel like as WordPress is being validated over and over again, Automattic, you know, getting huge funding, it's just going to snowball down to all the businesses that are powered by WordPress, right? And the really good ones, the ones that excel, I could definitely see that. What do you think, Vladimir? Is Managed WP, we're going to see some funding around your service anytime soon?
I don't know. I think VCs are looking for scalable services. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Dre had something up his sleeve, and Sukuru maybe in the near future. I don't know. Just services that are really easily scalable with money. You know, you need money to scale. So, I would think along those lines.
And I think that, you know, when we talk about service companies, and not to knock you, Brad, because you guys are growing like at a ridiculous pace. I think you like have every single WordPress developer on staff at this point. I think that from a VC perspective, it's probably a bit more challenging to invest in that type of company than it is something that's a SaaS company or a product-based company that can scale, to Vladimir's point. But it wouldn't surprise me. With all the mergers, acquisitions, and growth in that area, nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year already, just in a few short months, and I expect the rest of the year to be just as nuts. It's pretty exciting times for WordPress overall. I mean, it seems like every week or every other week there's a big announcement in some area of our community, someone else making big strides, new products being released, whatever it may be. And it's really just an exciting time to be in this community, no matter what you're doing in it. It's just, you know, Vladimir, like you said, this is a great, you know, WordPress is a great platform to wrap your business around right now. It could not be more popular. And it's only going up, so it's just a really exciting time to be in the WordPress world.
Yeah, and announcements. There were a few more announcements on that. Actually, stepping away from the growth in business more to WordPress Core. Helen, who is leading the charge for the 4.0 release, she's the lead. Made some announcements around some of the folks that are going to be involved with 4.0 and some proposed schedules for 4.0. Features as plugins and a few other things. Have you guys read through any of the potential ideas that have been suggested?
Yeah, so there's definitely a few that stand out. I think we touched on a couple last week. This is a little more specific list because they had the first chat around what's going to be in 4.0. Mm-hmm. A couple that look like around the WP API, I think specifically they're integrating the REST API into core, which as a developer, that makes me very, very happy. I'm sure, Vladimir, that makes you very happy. So we can stop working with XML RPC or relying on plugins to give us that API. We're building our own. We can have an official one to work against. And also the media grid integration, which I'm not too familiar with. I know there's some more information about that. There's a lot of little things, too, potential ideas and suggestions. And I think just like anything else in an open source environment, it's really all going to be about who gets behind these ideas and if they really run with them or not. So if they are, you know, really, if someone takes them and runs with it and gets them solid and tested and it's ready to go, then they'll probably make it in 4.0. Things around taxonomies and query components, multi-site improvements, mobile, all sorts of stuff, plugin installer, O-embed caching. We've said it before, but if you want to get involved in WordPress, now's a great time because there's just a lot of stuff you could dive in and help with.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no better time than the present to get over there. We'll drop the make.wordpress.org links in the show notes. Make sure you head over there. I mean, there's just a lot of cool stuff you can get involved with. If you're not a developer, there's non-developer things that you can be doing. Don't hesitate. I mean, become a part of creating the software that you use every day. I mean, like, who doesn't want to do that? That's kind of cool. Be able to say, look, hey, I help do that or do this, and you know, everybody that you know that's using WordPress is using something that you created. Man, that's good stuff. So it went quick today, as usual. These are great shows, great hosts. But maybe we move on to this week's Bart Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Dad. All right, Vladimir, this is a segment where we just kind of talk about a plugin or something that you love that you want to talk about and tell the world about.
So if you've got, does it have to be WordPress related?
Absolutely not. It's whatever you want it to be.
So I don't know. Do you guys read a lot of business books?
I read some.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for business books. I read, like, you know, dozens of them. And I had this problem that, you know, often after I read the book, you know, 2 weeks after that, I don't remember anything from the book, as if I never read it. So for this week's bar trick, I would like to mention a site, a blog that I started. And it's the first blog that I started since 2007. It's called keytakeaways.io. And basically, I review books and get the key takeaways from these books, you know, 5 or 6 key points from the book. It helps me remember. So, you know, 3 months from now when I want to see what Tony from Zappos said in Delivering Happiness, I can go to keytakeaways.io and see my review of the book fresh as when I read it. So, yeah, it started a couple of weeks ago. It has 7 or 8 reviews by now. Just would appreciate any feedback on that idea from you guys or the listeners, whether it sucked or it's great. I could use encouragement. It takes a lot of time to do this. So that's my trick for this week.
That's a really great idea. Cool too.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
This week.
All right. Bradford.
Drake.
What do you got?
Can you hear me?
Nope.
Nope, not at all. Cool. So I have a great shameless plug. So we're actually releasing the beta of AppBuddy for AppPressor hopefully today, if not today, very soon, in the next day or so. And it's the first extension for AppPressor that will bring BuddyPress support. So you'll be able to build native apps around BuddyPress. You can interact with the camera, update your profile picture, you know, with your device camera, all sorts of cool stuff, post pictures on activity streams from your phone. So it's really, really cool. It's called AppBuddy. If you're on the beta testers list and you own the agency bundle, you'll be on that list. You can get early access to it, and then anyone else, it'll be available in the next few weeks. But it's really, really neat, so definitely check it out.
Awesome sauce. I'm going to move on to my shameless plug of the week. And in fact, we put a blog post out here May 2nd. It's called Site Check Extended. Not only do we clean malware and all that fun stuff at Security, we have protective products with a firewall. But we also want people to do kind of their part in making sure that if they find stuff that's hosed up and infected and such, that they're staying away from it because we don't want them infected or their computers infected and such. So what we've done is we've extended SiteCheck, our website scanning tool, and we've put it into a widget. It's in a WordPress plugin. We've now created a Firefox and Chrome plugin and even a cPanel extension. So if you're not using any of these tools, it's a great way to, right out of your browser, learn if the sites that you're visiting are infected with something bad or blacklisted so that you reduce the risk of you becoming infected or having some type of issue. Get the opportunity to go check that out on the blog. Got a bunch of cool tools you can use there. One more piece to that. So you guys may notice, aside from SiteCheck stuff, I lost my beard over the last week.
That was going to be my bar trick, but I figured I'd let you get it.
Yeah, so last year, and you guys are all familiar with my jiu-jitsu journey, I started practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu over the last year. I've actually lost about 60 pounds, and one of the initial goals that I set was, look, this year in 2014, I want to get down under 205 pounds, or I want to win a gold medal, or both. And when I reach either of those instances, I'm going to shave my beard. In fact, I let it grow, and it was over 3 inches long. Well, this last Saturday, I competed at the Las Vegas International Open, and I podiumed. I took first place in a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament, and I weighed in at 205 pounds with gi, so I'm down to 200 pounds. And this last Sunday, when I got home from Vegas, I shaved it off, and here you go. You got a Dre's face.
Awesome, man. Definitely congrats. It's been a long journey, and you put in a lot of hard work to get there, so I bet that felt amazing standing on that podium. I saw the pictures. You look pretty proud.
I was pretty proud. I'm also proud. I think overall, my coaches and team, Carlson Gracie, the competition team, did an amazing job at the tournament, and without them, I certainly wouldn't have the motivation to get back on the mat every day to get my ass kicked. So it's been wonderful.
Very cool.
All right. So, Brad, I get to see you in a couple days. We're heading to Miami here this week.
Sir, I'll be there tomorrow night.
For Word Camp Miami, we will be speaking, and we also will be on a podcast panel with some of the other shows that are almost as cool as us, but not quite as awesome.
Almost.
Coming up after that, we've got Philly, Orange County. There's a few different events coming up at the beginning of June. WordCamp Chicago is coming up, as well as WordCamp New York. Vladimir, will you be at any upcoming events?
I am afraid not. The next time I'm in U.S. is only in October, so not in the recent time. But we can go out for a beer then.
Will we see you at WordCamp? Is that for WordCamp San Francisco?
I'm going to San Francisco. I don't know whether I'm going to be at a WordCamp because of the schedule, but I'm attending another conference for another startup that I have interest in. So,
cool.
Yeah, should be cool.
Well, hope to see you there. Hope to see you soon. Okay. Well, where can folks find you? Great to have you on the show. If people are interested in contacting you, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
So, as far as ManageWP is concerned, at ManageWP Twitter, and the best way to contact me personally is through LinkedIn. Just look me up through LinkedIn. I got rid of my Twitter recently, so the LinkedIn is the only way to get in touch.
Secret squirrel, he's hiding, but that's cool. You find him on LinkedIn. Through some pretty quick searches on Google will net you the results you're looking for. Bradford, man, are we going to have, we need to have like a nice drink and a cigar in Miami. I am Cuban and all, so what's
going on here? South Beach, drink, mojito, cigar, that sounds about right. So, looking forward to that. I'm excited for this weekend. Work at Miami is always a great event, so.
It is. I missed out last year.
Track us down if you're there, definitely.
Yeah, come see us if you're down. I missed last year. I know Tony came down. He had a couple of Cuban espressos, and from there crushed it on stage. So I have a hard seat to follow, but I'm excited to be there. Where can we find you online there, Brad?
Yeah, you can track me down on Twitter at WilliamsBA.
All right. Well, you can find me at Dre Maida on Twitter, and that's how we roll. Folks, there are a lot of things to manage in life. Make WP one of the easy ones. Manage WP. Thanks, Vladimir, for joining us. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for tuning in to episode 43 of the Dragcast. We're out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Yeah.